Hi, everyone. It's Kevin. Today is Wednesday, March 10th. On today's podcast, I'm going to talk about a topic that's critical to our mission, and that is ship certification, with somebody who has a storied career, in my view, as a legend in service to our nation, especially in the business of submarines. I have with me retired Vice Admiral Paul Sullivan, who graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1974 and later MIT with degrees in ocean engineering, naval architecture, and marine engineering. Admiral Sully earned his Dolphins on board the nuclear powered ballistic missile submarine USS James Madison, and over his naval career, Paul served in a variety of roles, a lot of them right here at Electric Boat, including the Ohio-class submarine project officer, the LA-class project officer at Soup Ship, and he was staffed to the Assistant Secretary of the Navy and as program manager for both the Seawolf and the Virginia programs. In 2005, Paul was promoted to Vice Admiral, and then he led NAVC, the Navy's largest Echelon 2 command, until he transitioned from the Navy in 2008. Sully has since held a variety of civilian roles, including the director of the Applied Research Laboratory at Penn State, and he currently serves as a highly qualified expert for the Assistant Secretary of the Navy, providing expert guidance and mentorship to PEO submarines, PEO Columbia, and PEO maintenance and modernization. So, Admiral, welcome to back to Electric Boat, really, and thanks for your support in helping us prepare for a very busy year of ship certification. And as you know, this year we'll certify two new construction Virginia ships and two Virginias completing their post-shakedown availabilities. That's the 790 and the 791. The timing of these certs will likely result in all of us being in the process of certification for at least three ships at the same time. We've got a great amount of work ahead of us, and that's exciting. But it's also a tremendous challenge for the community to manage, acknowledging that above all, we need to deliver a safe, high-quality, high-performing product to the operators in the Navy. So welcome again, Admiral, to the podcast.
Well, thanks. It's an honor to be here. And as you know, we just spent about an hour and a half with our senior managers downstairs talking about this subject, and I was very encouraged by the great attitude and participation of everybody. So it's a team sport.
I share that with you. I think that's right. And this is a milestone for us because we've been doing this podcast for now just about a year, really since COVID began. And what's transitioned from just an update on COVID has now become something that we're using to communicate to the rest of the community about what it is the business is facing. And you are the first outside EB guest on the podcast. So and I can't think of a better topic than ship certification and how important that is to our business than have you as a guest for that very discussion. So let's get right to it. You've got an enterprise view, not just here at Electric Boat, but Newport News and then the entire Navy. What do you see as the major challenges we're faced with as an enterprise as we approach ship certification schedules in the months ahead and then overall as an enterprise?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. So I think the challenge really facing us all, and this is not only people at Electric Boat and Newport News, but in the Navy headquarters, because the certification is a team sport, as you know. It'll be hard to make sure we're focusing on the most important stuff. You know, our day-to-day challenge of balancing costs and schedule and quality pushes us to the limit all the time. And when we've stacked up ship deliveries like this, we got to make sure that that we get it right every time, first time, as we go through all these certifications. And as I mentioned in our earlier discussions today, I think the biggest challenge is actually physical stamina, because these certifications come down very hard. We were working very hard, and when they are back to back, as these certifications coming up this year are going to be, we're going to have to make sure that our people are mentally and physically prepared to go through all of that. Otherwise, all of the culture doesn't matter because we're too tired.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about downstairs that this is a marathon, not a sprint, to be sure. So we also talked a little bit about some of the tragedies that have been that the submarine community is confronted over the decades, notably the Thresher and the Scorpion we talked about. But there are others that are near tragedies or collisions and that kind of thing. And all of those underscore the significance of what it is we do from a certification process. But we don't want to just learn from tragedies. We want to make sure we're learning lessons on things that, like a near miss, something that doesn't involve a tragedy. And sometimes that's hard to do without getting complacent over time. So how do we maintain that culture absent a significant tragedy?
Right. And I think probably the biggest thing that we need to think about when we're avoiding the culture of complacency that generates these tragedies is to constantly remind ourselves that every time a United States Navy submarine submerges, we're putting our friends, our shipmates, and in the case of ship delivery trials, our own shipyard personnel at risk, because the sea pressure is absolutely unforgiving. And you know, we do have problems, and you should know that many of the tragedies that we've had in our past are either out of new construction or after post-repair trials or post-shakedown availability trials. They're all important, every single one of them. And the near misses, it's sometimes hard to recognize that it was a near miss, but every time we do recognize we've had a near miss, we should run a critique to go figure out what happened. And more importantly, out of that critique should come the lessons learned that are nuggets for us to avoid that culture of complacency. If we treat the near miss as, gosh, this treat it like that casualty actually happened, we do a better job of learning the lessons out of it and applying them to the future.
Great, appreciate that perspective. So let's talk a little bit about the Thresher disaster. And from our perspective, that should stay as fresh in our mind as if it happened yesterday. How do we apply that to our current workforce across the enterprise?
Well, Thresher was a first-of-class ship. I know we call it the permit class, but it was the Thresher class. And that class of ship changed everything. It was the hot rod of the fleet at the time, and the performance from a deep-diving, heavily armed, acoustically superior submarine, all of those new hull steel, they were all game-changing technologies that we put into one submarine. And I think it got away from us in that we didn't system engineer it well enough, and we didn't make sure that the standards that we had in our shipyards, and this one was built at Portsmouth, were up to the standards of having that new technology and all of those aggressive design features. So the takeaways from the Thresher were many, and they're all really still relevant today. Inadequate design review of critical components and systems, where we didn't really understand what was going to happen when those were subject to the rigors of submarine operations. There was poor workmanship involved. There were signatures put in place for work that was incomplete. We had unknown weld deficiencies. We had inadequate inspection procedures, and we didn't know in some cases how badly some of the, for instance, piping joints were on Thresher, because we just didn't have good enough non-destructive testing at the time to go evaluate all of those joints. And they were in sea-connected seawater systems, which probably was the initiation. A lot of work practices not up to speed with the new technology. So we learned a whole bunch of lessons, including design lessons for emergency main ballast tank blow systems, where we completely redesigned those. Sea-connected systems, minimizing those going through the submarine. Spray-tight switchboards, where we thought that it was quite possible on Thresher that electric power went out because the spray from the seawater leaks impacted all the electrical equipment on board the submarine. So that, although those deficiencies have been corrected, every time we design a new class of submarine, we need to go look for what are these new things I'm putting in the boat that could cause a problem down the road if they're not adequately reviewed by themselves and as a system interacting with each other.
And here we are, right on the verge of introducing some new technology and putting that to sea for the first time, for example, on the 790, and we've just completed the design on the Columbia.
Right, and so the 790, I would say the 790 PSA is almost a lead submarine because of all of the changes we've made to that boat. And 803 and 804 is a lead submarine in each shipyard with the VPMs in there. The SSW boat is right around the bend. We're working on the design for that, and the Columbia is a lead submarine. So we have a lot of first-of-class issues coming our way almost all at the same time.
Appreciate that perspective. We've talked in the session earlier today about little C's and big C's as it relates to certification. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and why it's so important?
Sure. So, you know, certification is our bond actually to the crew of that submarine that we did our work and our testing correctly. We're given our word. When each shipbuilder, then the supervisor, then NAVSEA sign off on those certifications, the signatures at the top level, I would call those the big C, they're all based on submissions from the next level down, and the next level down is based on certifications all the way down to the design engineer working on the drawing board and the tradesmen that are assembling and putting together our submarines. And you know, when we sign off on that, you know, that's objective quality evidence. We always talk about OQE. That's the sign that we've done everything correctly in the subsafe boundary, the fly-by-wire boundary, and for the boats that have scope of cert, all three of those have been taken care of. You know, and so I'll call it a pyramid of signatures built all the way on the integrity of the first level worker, whether that's an engineer, a quality assurance person, or you know, a trade person, and we build those to the next level, and that overall certification is dependent that we all knew what we were signing for, and we looked at it personally. We have detailed personal knowledge of that signature.
So the signatures, the little C's that happen almost every day, if not absolutely every day, are really the building block for how we get to the big C certification process. You know, we talked about in the earlier session as well about how there are some teardown forces in today's environment where, you know, maybe our signature doesn't mean so much. It's different, though, with submarines, isn't it?
It sure is, and I'm very worried about this, and frankly, I was encouraged by the attention that the supervisors are giving it from our session today. But in our world today, we're information-driven. We look at many, many more written words. They may be on the internet or on our computer, but we're actually reading more and more and more than our parents or our grandparents. And because of information security requirements, we're required to do single verification, double verification, triple authentication for our banking accounts, et cetera. And we do this at the drop of a hat in our daily business. But as we discussed today, there's some examples that drive us in the wrong direction. In 1950, to buy a house, it probably was a 5-page document. Today, it's a stack of documents an inch high to buy a house. And we sign every one of them, trusting that our real estate agent and whatever attorney we have with us knows what's in there and that they've been correctly assembled. We probably look at the summary sheet and make sure that the numbers all line up, and that's about it. Yet we sign how many pieces of paper? Same thing with buying a car. We read the sales agreement, we don't read the fine print. And then finally, downloading an app on your cell phone. When you hit yes, I accept terms and conditions, you're actually making a legal commitment to that software developer that you're not going to reuse or violate copyright and all that. But we tend to ignore the detail and just say yes, because after all, there are no consequences to us of that, as long as we know that the software developer is not going to come after us, or that our house closing is going to go through, or we're going to drive off the dealer's lot with the car. That is absolutely not what we have to do in submarine certification. Our signature means we've done the work, we've witnessed the test, it met 100% of the requirements, or it didn't, and we adjudicated what went wrong, and we either retest, fix it, or agree that the risk of living with a deficiency is correct, proper, and won't jeopardize the safety of the boat. Very, very different. And we have to almost retrain ourselves. For senior people, we have to retrain ourselves constantly, because we're all doing the same thing that Generation Y and Z are doing and that they grew up with. So it's not just those young people, it's all of us.
So an interesting question is, well, you know, what is your signature worth? And I think in our business, it is worth the souls of every sailor, every EB employee, every every person who ultimately ends up sailing on that ship over its life. I think you'd probably agree with me.
I absolutely do. And that's why on that first dive, so many people ride the boat. The four-star director of naval reactors, the supervisor of shipbuilding, the Navy program manager, the shipbuilder president, right? The ship manager, and all of those people, because unless we're facing our own mortality, it is that serious. We are not motivated to pay the absolute amount of diligence that we must pay to all those signatures.
Excellent points. So we've begun subsafe certifications after the loss of the Thresher many years ago right now. And since then, no subsafe certified ship has ever been lost. And that's a tremendous record. Should we be comfortable that it can't happen?
We absolutely should not be comfortable. The history shows that all complex systems have failures. And in the two times I've been up here at Electric Boat talking about, you know, complex failures in complicated systems, first off, they always fail in complicated ways, which means a whole bunch of things have to line up for you to have a bad day. And generally, it's a cycle. You have a tragedy, you have a recovery process, you get to a culture of excellence, and then three generations of the culture of excellence, you start to slip. And then you slip into a culture of complacency. We can't do that. We've got to break that cycle and prevent that next tragedy. And you can see it in the airplane industry, the space industry, the automotive industry, and other complicated systems, oil rig blowouts, Deepwater Horizon, nuclear power plant accidents. The cycle of learning is tragedy, and we have to break that cycle and always stay on the culture of excellence and not go down the path to a culture of complacency. That's very, very hard to do. But again, back to the start of our discussion, if we consider every near miss as if it were the actual tragedy, we can stay on the good side of that cycle.
Well, terrific points. And I want to say, as we wrap up here, I want to thank you very much for chatting with us today on the podcast and sharing that with the rest of the EB team. This is a great way to get to 17,000 folks who come to work every day here at Electric Boat and get them to understand the significance of the certification process. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate your participation now twice in preparing the senior team for a busy year of ship certifications ahead.
Well, thanks. And again, it's an honor to be here, and it's a pleasure to talk to your leadership team. Everybody's focused in the right direction. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk again soon.